That sounds as if it's coming through loud and clear, which is good. Would you turn for a reading, please, to the first chapter of the Gospel of John? John chapter 1. Just going to read the first 18 verses. That's it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not that light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who himself is God and is a closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." What I'd like to look at this morning is a part of John, the 17th verse of that first chapter. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The law. The law was given by God for us. Moses was the conduit, if you like, the pipework, the delivery man. And this time you were actually in when he came around with the parcel. You didn't miss it, it was delivered. Okay? In Galatians 3:22-25, we read this. Before the coming of faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until faith that was to come would be revealed, so that the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. The law was there to keep people in custody. The Greek word there gives you the idea of a sentinel, someone who is on watch. And that's what the law was. It was something that was set there to provide the guard to oversee. And it was an interim, a transitional period. Now, it says that the law was a guardian. And you've got to sort of have a look at that to understand the idea that was associated with it in those times. The pedagogos was a servant who occupied an office. Their office, their job, their responsibility was to take the children to school in Roman and Greek times and to govern them. Bill Mouser's website, he says, a Reformed theologian, James Montgomery Bryce, defines the pedagogos as this. He says, the pedagogue was a slave employed by someone who was wealthy, okay, in Greek or Roman society. And they were responsible for the children to the family. This governor had charge over the child for the years 6 to 16. Responsible for watching over them, for their behaviour. If the child misbehaved, the servant was to blame. They had that responsibility. So that was their job, to make sure that they didn't suffer as a result of the child's misdemeanors, okay? So it wasn't, because the child was regarded as not accountable, then if anything went wrong, the accountable one was a servant, okay? Now, it says that no doubt there were some who were known for their kindness, they would be held in affection by the children, the wards. But the dominant image is one of a harsh disciplinarian. Somebody who frequently resorted to physical force and corporal punishment as a way of keeping the children in order. There was a certain one who was famous in those times, Socrates. He was described as fierce and a mean old man. He was renowned for physically breaking up a rowdy party. He dragged away the young charge, who was Charicles. He dragged him away, it said, like the lowest slave. And he delivered the other troublemakers who were in the party to the jailer with instructions that they should be handed over to the public executioner. All right? So he wasn't messing about in any way, shape or form. This guy was determined to keep his charges in check. Just simply put, he looked upon it that he was responsible for anything they did wrong. And the law was like that. It was in charge over us. It might seem hard and might seem very ungentlemanly, but the law was there to show us just how short of the mark we actually fell. It seems hard, it seems harsh, because we're so incapable. It's not just a case of being a hair's breadth away from the mark. It means the mark is way out of sight. A few weeks ago, I saw a video of a gymnastic routine, and it absolutely staggered me. In one particular part of the sequence, this gymnast was doing, you know, various things, and at one point she fell down onto a front. So she was facing the camera. She lay perfectly still, and then she began to roll her legs up at the back. So she's like that, and her legs began to come up at the back, and her legs came right up over until she put her feet down at the side of her head. And I was staggered. I mean, how far up can you lift your feet when you lay down? She brought them... You know, to this day, I just think, wow. Now, if she'd just sort of lifted her feet up a bit and maybe sort of gone straight up, and I thought, well, with a bit of practice, I might be able to do that. But she actually brought them right over and put them flat on the floor at the side of her head. And that is so far above and beyond anything I could even dream of doing that I don't even try. And that is how the law is with us. The standard it sets is so far above and beyond that we just look at it and think, no, we can't do that. And yet people seem happy with rules and laws. Why is that? Why do people seem to like the idea of laws? Perhaps we're settling for self-achievement. Perhaps we set our own standards. Perhaps we set our standards below the ones that have been set by God. I don't know. But the law is designed to show us that we are incapable and we need another way. It says, through Christ came the grace and the truth. It's a development of the divine plan. That which was shown in the law was eventually unfolded in grace and revealed through Christ. It says, you know, in the part that Eileen read for us today from Luke chapter 3, it says, it'd be a light for the Gentiles. Christ would be the light, a revelator. He would reveal something. And he showed that grace exists in God. The light revealed what was already there. Some people get this idea that the God of the Old Testament is different to Jesus in the New Testament. you know, oh, well, God's this big, mean, old, sort of harsh sort of pedagogue who's dragging the kids around, whereas Jesus is the nice, smooth, lovely, kind, friendly friend that we need. God is God, and the grace that's revealed in Christ was there in the Father too. Grace, in the sense of a liberality, it shows us the abundant giving of God. It shows us the above and beyond measure that he has. You know, we give gifts at Christmas as an example of God's giving to us. But how many times have you seen something and you've thought to yourself, I'd like to give that, but I can't. I can't get it, I don't have enough money, or something like that. There's a gift that you think that would fit perfectly, but it's beyond my ability to give it. God is the abundant giver, and there's no limit to what he will give. The Message version of John 1:17 says this: we got the basics from Moses, and this exuberant giving and receiving, this endless knowing and understanding, all this came through Jesus, the Messiah. In the example of the prodigal son, when the son goes to the father, he says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. What does the father do? He says, quick, bring the robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger. Let's get the fatted calf, kill it, and we're going to celebrate. The lavish giving of the father stunned the son. And the lavish giving of our Father is stunning. Luke 6:38 says this: give and it will be given to you, a good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over. It will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. There was a time when I was working on a machine at work. And it was actually a liquid nitrogen machine. It made liquid nitrogen, took the gas out of the air, liquefied it at really low temperature. To make that happen, you had to have the centre bit surrounded, covered in insulation. And the sort of insulation we used was a stuff called perlite. The guy who was in charge of it went out and we got these from the place where you can get it from. Don't worry about that, all right? And he got these sacks of perlite. And these huge sacks, and yet they were so light. They were packed with this insulation, sort of jam-packed full, but you could pick them up easily. And we poured this into the container and put about 5-6 sacks in. And he says, okay, now it's got to be shaken. You looked at the top and it was full. But as you shook it, it dropped. Because there was an air gap in between each of the bits of the perlite. And as you shook, it got rid of the air and the thing settled. And what was full, after we'd shaken, banged it, knocked it, was less than half full. And we ended up putting nearly 3 times as much in as we started off, because it settled, it pressed, and it settled down. You could look at the bags and you think, how on earth could they ever fit in there? But it's pressed down, shaken together, and that's God's blessing. You look at what's available and it's stunning, but there's more. You see how much there is, and he gives more. And you think, I can't take it all. But then it's pressed down, shaken together, and it goes in. God's grace is overflowing. The measure of grace, is difficult to measure because it's so expansive. In John chapter 2, 1-10, at the wedding of Cana, Mary, the mother of Jesus, goes to him and says, they've run out of wine. What does Jesus do? He says to these servants, fill up these stone jars. Now it tells us in the NIV that these water jars were the ones that we normally use for washing. So they filled them with fresh water. And then they're told to take a sample to the head of the marriage feast. And it's turned into wine. Looking at the measurements that they used, there was somewhere between 480 and 720 litres of wine. They'd already had a lot, and then all this other wine's produced as well. That's an amazing amount of wine. That would certainly keep you going for quite a while. But that echoes what God's giving is like. It's over, above, and beyond our measure. Jesus reveals God to be a bounteous giver. It's not a product of wishful thinking. It's true. And it's better than the wildest dreams. Well, that's okay for those who know Jesus, but what about the others? Well, the world works with rules, with systems, and people are comfortable with those. You know where you stand. You know what's right, you know what's wrong. Used to working with bending and possibly breaking those rules. When they come across church, they assume that it's the same. We need to show them that it's different. And we're not always good at that because we're used to working with rules too. We perhaps come into the church and think we're just going to exchange one set of rules for another set, from the worldly set to the religious set of rules. But to each one, we've got to reveal the bounteous, gracious, giving Jesus. Jesus is the light, the revelator, but what he also says is, we are lights too. In Matthew 5:14-16, it says, you are the light of the world. You are to be revelators, illuminators. We've got to let our light shine. The good things we do, the works that we do because grace has filled our lives, not because rule number 59 says, whatever. We need to show that God wants to be with us. We need to show Emmanuel. We need to show that God is with us, Emmanuel. We need to show that God is living through us, Emmanuel. Jesus said to his disciples, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Let that be said too of us, that as they see us, they see the bounteous giver, the gracious giver, the abundant giver, the expansive giver. Like a city set on a hilltop, as it says in the Message version, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you prompt people to share and open up with God, the generous Father in heaven. We have got a duty, a great opportunity to show the generous love of the Father. Will you make your life an open house? Will you open up to others? Will you do it? Will you pass it on? Will you be a revelator of grace and truth? But there's a problem. As you get close to the light, you see more. As you get close to the light, it reveals more. And we realize that really we're far away from what we should be. Christ reveals our state, even the saved state. It's not a hunting out, it's not a nitpicking, it's simply being himself and showing us that we're not like that. We realize we've got a lack. In Romans 7:21-25, Paul said this, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me prisoner of the law of sin that works within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God. Jesus Christ our Lord. How comfortable do you feel with God? Stephen, could you pop the PowerPoint on for us, please? That first slide. The idea of the Christian life is that we're continually moving forward. A few weeks ago, Mark said, where you rest, where you stay, that's where you die. And we're supposedly going onwards. A steady slope. Much easier than steps, but you do know they're going up it. And that's what we're supposedly doing. Moving onwards, forwards, a continual development. Can you pop the next one on, please, Stephen? Every now and again, you will be confronted with a step. That can be hard. Certainly a bit harder than the steady slope. Makes it a little bit harder for us to get over it. But every now and again, we will become aware of something that isn't quite right with us, where we're getting closer to God, and He's showing that we need more. And that's the step. But every now and again, we'll come on to the next one. You pop the next slide on, please, Stephen. And that, you don't step up. That is going to take some grappling with. It's going to take some climbing. You won't look elegant as you do it. Okay? You might even need help to climb it. But there's no advance until we overcome it. It's not a case of getting to the foot of that and marching on the spot, feeling like we're doing something, but actually going nowhere. And every now and again, God will confront us with something that we think is huge. And we have a choice. He reveals the need, and He will work with us to overcome it. It's necessary for us to reveal Christ. And to reveal Christ, we need to be going onward and upward. To be like Him is to reveal Him. And the more like Him we are, the more revelation there will be. It's not a case of pointing fingers at anybody, but simply being like Jesus would be. That's what He calls us to do. So again, I say, will you make your life that open house? Will you open up to others? Will you do it? Will you pass it on? Will you be a revelator of grace and truth? It will cost. It will hurt. And people, all of us, like to avoid pain. But at times, we need to push through that pain. It's worth it. And as I stand here this morning, I'm saying, I want to be a revelator of Jesus Christ. I want to display His grace to others. I want to let people see through me, the bounteous giver, who is our God. Are you with me?